children for their special time. And we can head out this side of the sanctuary here. And our scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 through 44. It reads, "After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, a place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, 'Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Just say this, the Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus upon it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.' As he came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, 'If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the day will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave within you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the word of God for people.
Thanks be to God.
Well, thank you, Aaron, for reading that. Great job, as always. And I do want to mention that we have some people watching online. I failed to mention them earlier, but Margaret Richardson, well, the Richardsons are watching, and Amy Carroll, and my friend Kurt is watching. Well, he might not be watching now because he knows the sermon starts about this time. No, I'm sure he's still with us. Mildred Cooley says hi. Carlton Marshall, hey, good to see you kind of online, buddy. And Joanne McGammon and Pam Ferris and Martha Danielson. And there are others watching as well. Facebook only tells me a few. So if you're watching at home, blessings to you. If you're here, blessings to us. And, you know, the pandemic has really changed how we do a lot of things, especially our celebrations. And today was kind of the same way with Palm Sunday. And then I remember as a kid, you know, they would give us palm branches, and my friends and I would march down. This is almost, you know, sad to say, march down the center aisle, and I think they were probably singing Hosanna, loud Hosanna. Because, you know, the little children sing. It just seems to go with Palm Sunday. And we would have a lot. I mean, there would be palm branches everywhere, and I would always go to my parents and say, hey, can I take some of these home? You guys ever have kids that would do that, drag stuff home? And I'm sure my parents are like, great, one more thing to clean up when David's tired of playing with them, you know? Because what, I mean, how long can you really play with a palm branch? But anyway, and I've been through different kinds of celebrations. I've been at churches where we've done the same thing with the kids like we did this morning. I've been at churches when there haven't been any kids, and there's been adults that have done it. At one of my churches, I've mentioned this before, there was a member who owned a donkey. And we thought, hey, how cool would it be to find a volunteer from the church to ride on the donkey, to put a bathrobe on and a sash as we wave palm branches? And yes, I think they might even be doing it today. Because if you find that person with the donkey, you have a lot of options at that point. And if you look at other countries,
I mean, some of these countries go all out, and you will see hundreds of people gathering together, and someone on a donkey or a colt, you know, going down, and people waving palm branches, trying to connect with that emotion of that first Palm Sunday. Because when they saw Jesus, some of them were making connection points. Because Jesus on that donkey, there were deep prophecies that he was fulfilling in that. And some of the people got it. And so they started putting cloaks and they started, you know, worshiping and praising. And the disciples, I'm sure, they were ecstatic. They had invested 3 years of their lives with Jesus. And they are probably thinking, now is the time. The kingdom of God has finally arriving. It is arriving. But in the midst of all that celebration, we have a picture of Jesus weeping. So I invite you to pray with me this morning, and we will take a look at this passage. Jesus, lead and guide us. May we sense your presence here, and may you speak to us through your word. And may your word truly be a light to our lives and a lamp to our path. In your name we pray. Well, last week I mentioned that in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, Luke tells us when it was time for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Luke is letting us know that this week is not a surprise to Jesus. We know that on Friday, he is crucified. It wasn't the fact that he was at the wrong place at the wrong time. Jesus knew that this was the Father's plan, and he chose to be faithful and obedient to God's plan. And so there was no accident at all as he was heading to Jerusalem. And then Luke tells us in the passage that Aaron read, after he had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. Now, you know, when I read scripture and I see something like that, I can't help it. I have to go back and see, what did Jesus say? You know, after he said this, I think Luke is telling me, you need to look up a little higher. If you're starting here, look up a little higher. And so I do. And it says, as they were listening to this, come on, Luke, how far am I going to have to go up? What were they listening to? Am I going to have to go all the way to the beginning of the gospel? Is it like, you know, going backwards? But actually, what they were listening to was Jesus, as he's heading to Jerusalem, he comes through Jericho, he meets a man named Nicodemus. Not Nicodemus, Zacchaeus. Got to get the characters right. Zacchaeus. And at the end of that episode, he says that the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And as they were listening to this, he goes on to tell a parable for two reasons. One, because he was near Jerusalem. And so it seems like this might be an important parable. Because he said it, because he's near Jerusalem. He's almost there. And second, because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. And so he tells this parable about a nobleman who went to a distant country to get royal power for himself and then return. He's going away so that he can come back as king. That's what's going on with this man. And when he leaves three of his servants in charge. He gives them a sum of money. It's about 3 months' wages because he's going to be gone for a while. And he says, do business with this until I come back. Do business. Business that I want you to do. You do it until I come back. And so he leaves, but there's a little twist because you might think, oh, this is the parable of the talents. I know this story. But look at this. But the citizens of his country, do you see that? Hated him. They didn't like this guy. And they sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to rule over us. But he goes anyway. And he comes back, this time not as a nobleman. This time he comes back as king. And he gathers his servants. And he basically says, so, how did you do while I was gone? The first servant comes and he says, you know what? I doubled what you gave me. How would you feel about that? Right on, dude. Well done, good and faithful servant. Here are your cities, because now he's king. So he makes him ruler over these cities. And then the second guy comes. And he says, well, you know, I didn't do as well as Aaron. You know, because Aaron will like knock it out of the park. It's whoever's sitting there, Aaron. They can tell you that. Before you arrived, it was John. But anyway, the next guy comes up and he goes, I didn't do as well, but I had a 50% increase. And the king's like, that's fantastic. Can't argue with that. Well done, good and faithful servant. Then the third servant comes. And he goes, well, how did you do? And the guy goes, well, you know, I know how you are. I know what you're like. I was a little fearful. And so I was fearful that I would lose what you gave me. So I hid it in this handkerchief. I kind of kept it under wraps. And here you go. And the king's like, if you know who I am and what I'm like, you would know that this is not acceptable. You could have at least put it in the bank to get some interest. You are a lazy servant. Take what he has and give it to the guy with his double what I've given him. But the king's not done. And Luke continues, or Jesus continues, says, but as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and slaughter them in my presence. That seem kind of rough to you? Yeah. But that's how kings and kingdoms work, isn't it? This is how kings operate. It's not good to have enemies in your kingdom. Because even Jesus said, a kingdom divided against itself will not stand. So Jesus is, so this king is like, bring them here, slaughter them. That was the parable he told as he started going to Jerusalem, or as he was closer to Jerusalem. And he tells his disciples to go into the city and get this colt that had never been ridden. Again, Zechariah has some prophecies about this. And we don't know whether Jesus made some pre-arrangements or whether this is the hand of God moving in the background. Whatever the case, Jesus gets on this colt. He starts riding it, fulfilling a lot of, you know, some of the Old Testament prophecies, connecting the dots for some folks. And as he rode along, people were spreading their cloaks. Other gospels tell us they were waving palm branches. And the whole multitude of the disciples begin to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen. And they were saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. That comes from Psalm 118. That is what pilgrims would say as they were coming into Jerusalem. That this time they were saying it in reference to Jesus. And not all people were happy about this. I mean, the people were ecstatic, except some Pharisees. And they said, teacher, stop your disciples. You see, this was a threat to them. This was a threat to their power. This was a threat to the system that they had. They said, stop them. Don't let them be doing this. And Jesus says, well, you know what? If you're a little freaked out with my disciples singing this, if I tell them to be quiet, you're going to really freak out. Because the very stones would sing out. They would shout because he is the king. And they would let everyone know it. And Jesus continues writing. And he comes to a place where he can finally see the city, to see Jerusalem. You would think he would be ecstatic, but instead he weeps. And he weeps saying this, if you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. You see, what was going on was Jesus was bringing an opportunity for these folks. They were heading in a direction that Jesus knew would end in death and destruction. He knew that. And Jesus was bringing this opportunity for them to take a different path. But they were not recognizing it. Now, last week, I shared a little bit about Mary and Martha. And I did it through the eyes of discernment. My question was, What was it that caused Mary to choose to spend that time with Jesus instead of in the kitchen? What caused Mary to step outside of social and societal expectations about what she should be doing so that she would take a different role and be with Jesus as a disciple rather than someone providing hospitality? And I just wonder, if she was one who recognized the moment, who realized that this time was different, this time with Jesus was different than any other time. Somehow, it's like she had this sixth sense that this was an opportunity, and she recognized it. Have you ever cared about someone who just seemed to be on this path that would lead to destruction, to lead to heartache, that would lead to brokenness? And you knew it, and you saw it, that every opportunity they had to make a different choice, to head in a new direction, a better direction, they let pass them by. How many times did you weep over them? Is it any wonder that Jesus is weeping? Because he sees how this is going to play out. And he actually says, indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave within you one stone upon another. Because you did not what? Do you see it? Recognize. You did not recognize what? The time of your visitation from God. And in about 40 years or so, what was going to happen in Jerusalem is they're going to continue on that same path of wanting to overthrow Rome. And they tried unsuccessfully several times. But then, about 40 years later, they got up and it's like, okay, we're going to do it this time. And they gave it everything they had. And Rome came down with a sledgehammer and destroyed Jerusalem. In fact, the temple, if you go there, you know what you find? The Western Wall. That's all that's left, even to this day. I mean, this was almost 2,000 years ago that Jesus came and gave them an opportunity. But instead of walking into that opportunity of life, they remained in that darkness. And Jesus is like, if only you recognize.